All right, welcome to subject test for the statistics department. So we have three programs: actuarial science, business, maths, and stats, and statistical finance. So to grab your attention, I'll start with a little video clip, which shows how exciting statistics is as a subject. Think in a moment. Very interesting to watch. Okay, so not only so congratulations on your offers. I will try and give you an overview of why you should choose statistics at the LSE. So not only is it great, hugely interesting subject to study, also gives you fantastic job opportunities. So here is a page from the New York Times, the best newspaper in the world probably. So the headline is, for today's graduates, just one word, statistics. And here's a quote from the article by Hal Varian, the top chief economist at Google. I keep saying that the sexy job in the next 10 years will be statisticians. So he said this for 3 years ago, so it's valid for another 8 or 10, at least 8 years. Okay. So who am I? I'm Wicker Bergsma. I'm associate professor at the statistics department at the LSE. I'm the program director of business, maths, and stats and statistics with finance. And so what I do, so I advise students, I make sure the program runs well. I do visit day like this. And so I teach at the undergraduate level and the postgraduate level. And I do research, so I've written 2 books on statistical methodology, so one for specialists in the field and another for people who want to use statistics. And I publish articles in international journals. So that's about me. Okay, so you see the 2 reasons why you should study statistics, and it's a great place to do that. It's fun, great job opportunities. So let me tell you a little bit. So what I will do today, and this in the next half hour or so, I'll give you some examples of applications of statistics, why it's important in society, and some background about the degree programs. Okay, so in today's computer age, we can collect, so especially nowadays, you're beginning to study at exactly the right time when we can collect vast amounts of data on stock prices, DNA, climate, health, NHS patients, buying behavior in supermarkets. If you have a Tesco card or a Sainsbury card, your buying behavior is recorded. So this is recorded from millions of customers, creates a huge database, and supermarkets make great use of that. So to manipulate your buying behavior and to make more profits. Internet search data and so on. So not only this, we can collect vast amounts of data. We also now have very fast computers. Already about 10,000 times faster than just 20 years ago, and there's no sign of improvements stopping. So this is an ideal world, ideal time to study statistics. So we offer 3 programs. So with slightly different flavors, but for all of them, statistics is a key element. So I'll give you a few example. So first I'll give you another video clip from the same book. Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that. You can see the full documentary on gapminder.org. You can see some other interesting video clips as well. So I can recommend that. So I'll give you a few more examples of the importance of statistics. Google.com Translate. I don't know if you've ever used this. You can translate. So currently covers 80 languages. Can translate from any of these 80 languages into any other. So this is quite an amazing feat. So it's not always as accurate as we might want, but it still gives it is very useful. Far better than nothing. The surprising thing about Google Translate is that no grammar at all is used. Most of you have done GCC French, I suppose. Horrible to learn all these grammar rules. Google just doesn't bother. What they do is they use statistical machine translation. So instead of using rules to translate, looking up words, they find the most likely translation. So based on huge database of manual translations, so for example European Union documents or book translations, they find what is, they use statistics to translate texts from any of 80 languages into any other. Here's another example. So cancer detection from DNA data. So here we have the DNA data of 63 people. So on this axis we have 1 to 63, so 63 persons, and each row represents the DNA, the gene expressions of each person. So we have, in this case, this is based on a gene chip. So you have these, nowadays you have these chips where you put some human tissue on, and then it measures how active each of your genes is. And this differs by person, and this also differs depending on your health. So for example, if you have a certain disease, this will be expressed, some genes become active to try and fight this disease, and you will have a different gene expression pattern than somebody else. So each row, it gives the gene expression. So blue is a strong expression and yellow is a weak expression. So we have a huge data set, 2,308 numbers for each person. So how can we make sense of this? So for this we can use statistics as well. So statistics is nowadays used very successfully to determine what type of disease somebody has. So this can aid doctors, for example. Okay, so these are general applications for medicine, translation. Let's have a look at actuarial science. Now, who is here for actuarial science? Large number. So actuarial science is the discipline that applies mathematical and statistical methods to assess risk in the insurance and finance industries. So here's a picture of the tragic floods that we recently had. Maybe some of you were affected, so this was quite a disaster recently. And this gives rise to huge insurance claims. So for the purposes of today, we're interested in the insurance. Storms and flooding insurance claims reach £426 million, is estimated. So a huge amount that the insurance industry needs to pay. And the problem is, for the insurance industry, that floods are unpredictable, right? So we don't know how many floods there will be, how severe there will be. So for this we need mathematical and statistical methods. So for example, floods, earthquakes, tsunami, earthquake and tsunami in Japan, oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico, it all led to huge insurance claims. So insurers need to assess both the likelihood of a disaster occurring, which is quite difficult, so there are mathematical models for this, and also, but that's not enough, also the likely size of the claims. And so if there's a disaster, hardly anything is damaged, no big claims. But even this is not enough, you also need to assess the association between these two. So for example, with climate change, we'll get a higher, so we don't know how, well, we know there is climate change, we don't know how severe it is, how fast the climate will change. That's, so according to different models, the likelihood increases of a disaster, increases at faster or slower rates. But there's also an association. So as we get a higher rate of disasters, of floods, then it is also more likely that that they'll be more severe. So there's an association. So more likely disasters, and that's associated with more damage per flood. So, so you need to be well trained in the statistical and mathematical methods to properly do this and save insurance, the insurance company you're working from bankruptcy by too large claims. Okay, so risk. And here's another example of a risk bacon is bad. So there was recently, about a year ago, I don't know if you saw it in the newspapers, concern about bacon. It's supposed to increase the risk of cancer. So this is the Sun, the Daily Mail. Why eating just one sausage a day raises your cancer by 20%? So newspapers love statistics, right? And this is the way they love to present it. Increases your risk by 20%. Panic. Okay, but is this, how helpful is it? What does this mean? So this is just one way to represent risk. There are two ways to represent the same information. Okay, so this is what the Daily Mail did. An extra, briefly in the headline, an extra 50 grams of bacon consumed on a daily basis increases the risk of colorectal cancer by 21%. Then we need to know how often does colorectal cancer occur. That's 45 incidents per 100,000 people per year. So that's one way. And you tell me if the next way is better. So this is a different way, which is preferred by statisticians. 5 in every 100 men typically gets colorectal cancer in a lifetime. If they all eat an extra ration or 2 of bacon every day for life, then 6 will. Yeah, so 5 normally get colorectal cancer. If all of these 100 eat bacon, 6 will. So 99 out of 100 people are affected. So is this easier to understand? I would say so. Yeah. So this is so the NHS is very much concerned with. So sometimes you get leaflets from the NHS in your box. There's endless discussions on how to represent risk to people, and so the NHS would never present it in this way. Nobody can, not even me, can make too much sense about that. Okay, financial risk. Well, we had the financial crisis recently, so that seems to be over, but still some worrying sort of trend here, it seems. So this is 1990, 2014, and this is debt as a percentage of national income. So are we heading for disaster here? Getting close to 100%. Yeah, so 1990, maybe safe levels, less than 30%.
No,
70%. Disaster is coming, or not. Well, let's have a look at a longer time series. Yeah, so this is from 1692, when financial institutions were first started. And we are here. Yeah, this is... So this is what you just saw. So in the 1800s, the debt as a percentage of national income was far above 100%, and then this was the time when the empire was built, right? So ships needed to be built at enormous costs. And so the government was in enormous debt to build empire, and this was actually a good time for England, at least, or for Britain, economically speaking. Okay, so now my favorite example, which puzzles everyone, Simpson's paradox. So this is Berkeley University graduate admissions from data from 1973. So this was all over the newspapers, and there was a court case because something scandalous appeared to have happened. Number of applicants, so 8,442 men applied to Berkeley, and 44% got admitted. 4,321 women applied, and only 35% were admitted. Blatant discrimination against women, right? Scandalous. Well, maybe this is just due to chance, yeah? So maybe one year more men get admitted, another the next year more women get admitted, yeah? So we first need to check this. So let's have a look. So this is what you'll learn. Well, some of you have seen this at A level. This is what you'll revise in the first year. Test whether this is a statistically significant difference, yeah, or whether it's just due to random fluctuations. So this particular year, men were lucky and women were not lucky. So we calculated the Z statistic, difference in proportions divided by the standard error, and so in your first year you'll do this at length. And we get a value 9.8, and associated with that is a p-value less than very, very small p-value, which indicates that this is almost impossible to have occurred by chance. This is a real systematic difference. So, are they sexist bastards at Berkeley? Well, that's what some people thought, and they went to court, and lots of head scratching. So here is the same data. But now we split it by department. So maybe in one department there's a lot of discrimination, and in another department there's no discrimination. Yeah? So let's have a look at different departments. So here we have six departments, A, B, C, D, E, F. Yeah? So, and then, so department A, 825 applicants, 62% of men were admitted, and 82% of women. So in department A, more women were admitted. that's what department A does not follow, seem to follow the trend. Now let's look at department B. Also more women were admitted, 68% rather than 63%. Department C, well, a little bit more men were admitted here. Department B, few more women, few higher, a little bit higher percentage. Department E, more men, and department F, more women. How is this possible? This is completely different than previous papers, right? But it's the same data. So most departments are small but statistically significant bias in favor of women. This is very strange. So what happened was, women tended to apply to competitive departments with low admission rates, even among qualified departments. So for example, English department, few places, many applicants, many women applied, and because there are a few places, many women got rejected. Men tended to apply to less competitive departments with high rates of admission, such as engineering, many places, many men, mostly men applied, and they got in because most people get in. So this is known as, we have to read and reread this, I guess, to fully grasp it. So this is called Simpson's paradox, and we'll cover that in your studies. So is there discrimination against men? Yeah. More women in this department, more women. Well, it turns out that women do slightly better at school, and so maybe they get slightly higher admissions, a bit more get admitted. So here it's all the same. You follow up the offer from LSE, so you're all in the top 10%, 1%, whatever. Right, so I'll skip the a little bit about the job opportunities. So as I said, today is an incredible time to study statistics, to study in a statistics department, because there's so much demand, so many opportunities for statisticians. More than 50% of our graduates go to the financial actuarial industries. If you study actuarial science, about 40% of actuarial science students go into the actuarial business. Many go into financial industry. So it doesn't mean you necessarily become an actuary, but many do. So you can. The skills you learn are highly transferable into. So we have one former students who worked at Google, for example. Probably a few more that I don't know about. It's a branch in London. Pharmaceutics, clinical trials, genetics, I gave some examples. Facebook might be interested. So that's some of the key workers in Facebook, Google, Microsoft are actually statisticians. Each time you press like on a picture, this goes into the database, and they profile you in more detail and target advertisements to you. Yes, so this is all done by statistical methods. So why is Facebook free? They don't make money from contributions, but they make money from advertising. And the more targeted they can make the advertisements,
the more
money
Facebook makes.
Yeah,
there's a reason that it's worth $30 billion.
Academic research, we have a number of students going on research. Teaching in secondary schools and elsewhere, very important. Supermarkets, marketing organizations, network rail, hospitals, environmental science. So you learn highly transferable skills in our degree programs, which can be utilized in many industries. So many people will just go straight into the financial industry, but there are many other opportunities. Let's see, I'll just give a bit of time for some questions. So these are destinations, roughly that changes actuarial science, 40% to charitable business, accountancy, banking, other finance, 40%. Postgraduate studies. I'll skip this. So you think you get these exemptions? That's on the website. And I just want to mention. So I'll give you. We'll spend a few minutes where you can ask questions, and then there's a meet and greet in a few minutes on three floors.